It doesn't interest me if there is one God or many gods. I want to know if you belong or if you feel abandoned, if you know despair or can see it in others. I want to know if you are prepared to live in the world with its harsh need to change you, if you can look back with firm eyes and say, "This is where I stand." I want to know if you know how to melt into the fierce heat of living, falling toward the center of your longing. I want to know if you are willing to live day by day with the consequence of love and the bitter, unwanted passion of sure defeat. I have been told in that fierce embrace, even the gods speak of God. Those words by poet David White came to my mind when a young transgender woman came through the doors of Westminster for the first time for prayer. She was very nervous. She was shaking. It was hard for her to make eye contact. I was overwhelmed, really, with her courage to walk into this building that looks sort of like a fortress from the outside. I put a hand on her shoulder when she asked for prayer to relieve the anxiety that is always with her. So we prayed. And after a few minutes, with a deep sigh, her shaking stopped, at least for a time. I wondered afterwards, had she felt belonging? I wondered about her family, about her friends, possibly about her church, about her community. Was rejection at the root of her anxiety every day? Had she felt she belonged, or was she abandoned? I don't know. What do these questions have with the passage that we read this morning? To answer that, we have to have an understanding of healing and wholeness, and we need to look at the context of illness in the biblical world. In this story of the man with demon possession, we see that he is so affected by his disease that he doesn't even live in a house. He lives among the tombs without clothes. He's been shackled and chained and breaks through to be in the wilds alone. All was not well with him. And all was not well in his community. So in this story of healing, even in this healing itself, there's still brokenness. What about the swineherds and the loss of income as their pigs, driven out by the demons into the water, drown? What about the perspective of those intelligent pigs? If this were a movie, we could not claim that this was made without any harm to the animals. And yet, even with the incomplete healing, across centuries, there still rings a universal need when we imagine that man alone among the tombs, without love, without clothing, and the demons say, "My name is Legion. We could name the legion of problems that we see around us. Flight towards the brink of war between the United States and Iran. A four-month-old baby separated from his father at the U.S.-Mexico border. Thousands and thousands of children innocent of any crime living in conditions that are worse than prison. Looming disasters from climate reality. And there are personal losses, illness, death, and grief. A legion of torments. Now, in these Gospels, there are more passages about Jesus' healing than any other activity. Jesus placed the wholeness, the well-being of the person at the forefront of his message. He affirmed that God's abundant life holds the whole person, their whole being, throughout their life. And that healing, as we read the stories, often includes not just the individual, but the community around them. We live in a very different world than Jesus, the gospel writers, Jesus' first followers. We have different names for diseases and different understanding of their causes, but like the early Christians, we still face chronic illness, debilitation, mental illness, and death. We still need healing. The modern world views miracle as a supernatural violation of the laws of nature. But biblical tradition views God as loving and active in the world, continuing an open system. The theology behind healing and wholeness is a belief in God's love that seeks abundance in all things. It's mysterious. Healing is not just about the individual, but transforms bodies, spirits, and relationships. It's rooted in the Hebrew notion of shalom, an inward sense of wholeness, not just the absence of war and conflict, but completeness and tranquility. So in the story we heard today, Jesus restores the man's sanity, and people are struck with awe and fear when they see that he's been healed, he's clothed in his right mind. We trust that the healing has begun in the community. Jesus' mind, body, and spirit healing works together seamlessly, and I believe that's true for us today. Social relationships shape not just our faith, but our health. Friends, in the madness that is happening in our world, we have to remember that we are surrounded by God's love. Isn't that part of why we gather on Sunday morning? To experience the sense of belonging? To point out to one another where God is active in the world? Isn't it to recall together that we are loved by God and we have the resources to face whatever is ahead? When we share a meal, when we serve, when we sing, when we worship and pray, we are reminded that we belong and that we are strong. We are strong. I'm thankful for Greg mentioning the little card about healing and wholeness in the bulletin today. I felt like for many years it's one of Westminster's best kept secrets. For 19 years, about 12 to 20 of us show up to sing, to prepare the sanctuary for worship, and to pray and offer healing prayer. Now, you may not have heard of Tizay before. It's the name of a town in France. It's a community that was begun by ecumenical Protestant brothers who offer healing prayer daily for the world. They chose not to have one single language, so the songs are in a multitude of languages. All of this came after World War II. As a witness to the world for peace, it still attracts young people from around the world. So in our healing service every third Saturday of the month, we have music in that style. We have contemplative music, lighting of candles, anointing with oil, and healing prayer. I want to say a little bit about healing prayer because Jim Moiso, who was pastor here when the service started, I remember him describing how nervous he felt, this whole notion of offering healing prayer in the Reformed Church, because it sounds maybe a little too mystical for those of us who are very logical. When we offer healing prayer, we make a distinction between healing and curing. We are not the healers, but we open ourselves to God's healing love. We trust that healing can come in a variety of ways: forgiveness, reconciliation, a sense of peace, improvement in a physical condition, relief of pain. We trust that God's intimate love for the world addresses suffering of all kind. The Reverend Bruce Epperle of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ and a professor of practical theology says, it's really important as we participate in healing prayer to notice the interplay that our faith and openness and God's Spirit play in our spiritual lives and in health outcomes, but we're also looking towards medicine and therapies, all these working together for healing. Sometimes we see the healing results, but there are many, many times when it seems our prayers go unanswered. And when that happens, we have to avoid speculation as to why it didn't go the way we expected. Too often, that can lead to blame, and worst of all, blaming the person in need. Though I do not understand the mystery of answered and unanswered prayer, I believe our prayers matter. I believe that together we are woven into the fabric of love and grace and light and healing, and that extends far beyond these walls, this community. It's neither magic nor manipulation, but it is openness to God's healing and presence. It doesn't guarantee that cures will occur, but it affirms that when there cannot be a remission of illness, our prayers are part of God's healing process that enables people to experience peace in disability and even in death. My late husband Daniel came to the Tizay service as often as he was able. And while our prayer and all the other therapies he tried did not cure the cancer, he did experience inexplicable peace before his death. Watching my proud, determined, willful husband peacefully accept death was a miracle. God's dream for us, it's wholeness. Last Sunday, I had the joy with about 20 other Westminster folk of walking in Portland's Pride Parade, along with 45,000 other people, experiencing the rainbows, the people of all ages joyfully high-fiving us and cheering the church present in that walk was truly a communal healing. The community of welcoming congregations, of which Westminster is a part, carried a banner that said, "People of faith, standing on the side of love." I think that's a good expression of what Jesus was about when he touched, when he healed, when he sent people back to tell the good news. Being a source of healing means being honest, being authentic, being true. Friends, this is not a time for the faint of heart. This is not a time to crave escape into the abyss. This is a time when the world needs healing. And we are all part of that, to clear out fear, to clear out hesitation, resentment, anything that blocks God's Spirit from courageous love and from compassion and awareness. I'd like for us to close the sermon together by singing one of the songs from Tezay. If you need music, it's in your blue hymnal, and I invite you to open to page 599, but it's so simple, you can also pick it up just by hearing. So blue hymnal number 599, "Jesus, Remember Me." It's very simple. I'm gonna ask Michael for the pitch on page 599. I'm gonna sing it through, and we're gonna do this without accompaniment because this is our song prayer. And we're going to repeat it over and over until it just feels like a natural time to fade. If you want to close your eyes and listen to your neighbors singing, know that there are no wrong notes in prayer. Oh, wait, before I sing that, I wanted to close, because after the singing, we're going to be silent. But I want to share this quote by Brother Roger of the Tezay community. He says, "Nothing is more conducive to a communion with the living God than meditative common prayer, with at its high point singing that never ends, but continues in the silence of one's heart when it is alone again."